didn't get medicated the last 2 days because I just wasn't up to it. And I think she thought it was over.
All her no.
All her troubles were gone. And then I captured her today and did both things. And she was just so mad.
Yeah, I was too tired after the vaccine yesterday, so I forgot to get Bubba wet food.
Oh,
which,
no.
Oh yeah, heaven help you if you got your cat used to wet food.
Oh yeah,
and now he doesn't have it anymore. Which he shouldn't be fussing because he only had to wait like 2 extra hours, and he has a whole bowl full of dry kibble that he can get anytime he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And once I wet food into his bowl, he took like 3 bites and then went to sleep.
Yeah,
like
this one will wake me at 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then wake me every half hour after that. Okay, and now, what about now?
No. Which the change in light has made it worse, because when it's dark out, he doesn't pay attention to the fact that, you know, breakfast is soon. But now, as we're getting closer to summer, at 6 a.m., it looks like normally 9 a.m.,
yeah,
which is when he eats. So I've been waking up 3 hours earlier.
I tried having a spray bottle next to the bed, and she would hide around the corner of the door, of the bedroom door, and yell at me from there.
Oh, no.
But I couldn't get her with the spray bottle.
Every time I try to look up the name of the town that my book takes place in,
mm-hmm,
it's just in Irish Gaelic, and I don't know what that is. Oh, right. Welcome to our podcast, everybody. We talk about cats and wine and shitty romance novels specifically. We read and review them so that you don't have to. And hopefully you find some enjoyment. My name is Tasha.
And I'm Danielle.
And this podcast is called And
Then
They Fucked. Even with video, it's not working better. this time around, it is my turn. We're doing normal romance novels. No magic, no shape-shifting, just boring-ass fucking people. Who wants that? Like I was saying a few minutes ago, every time I try to look up how to pronounce this name of this town, I have no idea how to say it.
Oh, okay.
It is spelled like Liz Dune Varna, but when you look on the wiki page, it looks like Lush de Berna, which, you know, if you are a listener who has been there or is in Ireland or any number, and if you know what you're talking about, like, shoot us oh shit, how would they contact us?
I don't know.
We'll figure it out eventually. Let us, we only have comments on iTunes though, and I don't check our iTunes.
Oh, I don't even know how to get on there.
I don't know, tweet it out, and we'll figure it out. We're working on it, okay? We're working on it.
Save it up, and we'll work on it, and then you can
make a list
all at once.
Make a list of various problems you have, and just keep it going in your notes, mm-hmm, on your phone. And then once we get our social media up, just like at us, or don't. I don't know.
My cat's gonna yell at us in a minute.
Well, you know, it's a staple of the pod.
But
my book is called Love Like This by Sophie Love. Yeah, I know. I was wondering, like, did she not quite know what to name it and just thought her name was great? Or did she pick her name because she wants to be a romance novel?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's how it's spelled in the... No, it'd be that side for you, huh?
Huh.
Right? I fucking hate this book so much. So if I sound like I'm delaying talking about it, I am. it's just awful. once again, the book is called Love Like This by Sophie Love. And it is about the... she's just awful. But we open up our book on Kira Swanson. We have no idea what she looks like or how old she is. It's all very vague. Sure. Which I guess is easier to, like, step in and, like, imagine her however she want. But she has been called into work on Labor Day, and we find out that her boss just kind of fucking does that. And she is a journalist for a travel magazine.
Okay.
And she, I don't know, it's so hard to explain this fucking book, but she is a journalist for a travel magazine, and it's a super competitive work environment, but it's also super fucking toxic because all of the bosses in this place expect you to just come in as soon as they text you. And if you're late, you are at risk for being fired. But we also found out that she, like, didn't just drop everything at a text. She bailed on family brunch and left her boyfriend to handle the entire fucking thing by himself.
Oh, my God. I would let them fire me, but I'm not in that environment, so it's hard to say what you would do.
Right. This comes up a couple times, too. But she basically doesn't understand why her boyfriend, Zach, is annoyed at her for totally fucking bouncing to go to work. but we also find out that, like, not only is the boss a dick, but the boss and the CEO made it the entire company an open floor plan in a really echoey room so that nobody could even whisper without everybody hearing it.
Oh my God.
And if you bring in lunch that smells too strong, they will fire you. Like, right. So, like, it's the worst, most toxic work environment ever. But Kira just loves it.
Oh my God.
It keeps her on her toes.
She's talked herself into liking it so she can work there.
Pretty much. She convinced herself she likes it. But, as you will find out, she's a fucking bitch.
Oh.
Yeah. Which, interestingly enough, because I did everything I could to avoid reading this book, if you go on Goodreads, one of the reviews says, the main character is just an asshole. which I have to agree heartily. Because her mindset about this awful fucking work environment is, well, if you can't stand the heat, just get out of the kitchen. Like, she's all for it. But also, I don't understand why there's so many people in the office right now when it's a travel magazine.
Yeah. Shouldn't they be all over?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I don't understand it because every journalist, every travel person is in the office for Labor Day. Why aren't they anywhere?
Yeah, that's weird.
It doesn't make sense. But, like, also, another thing that bothered me is, like, they don't like the smell of certain foods in the office. But, like, you're traveling the world and you can't stand the smell of food.
Yeah.
Like, curry makes you upset. Why are you working in travel? Get the fuck out.
Yeah, that should be part of the enjoyment of life, is different foods.
Exactly. But anyway, her boss, Joshua, kind of zeroes in on Kira and starts drilling her about, have you finished researching the Festival of Love? Because I don't have it, and blah, blah, blah. And she's just, like, hurrying to resend all of the research she did for this asshole. Mm-hmm. Because he always looks for any reason to fire people. But I don't know. But, like, it's as he's harassing her about having not sent him the information, which she was doing, like, every 2 days because she had to cover her ass.
Mm-hmm.
All of her coworkers show up And it turns out all of them hate working there as well. And when I was reading, I was like, why don't these people have a Why We Left BuzzFeed video? Like, make, you guys are all fucking talented. You all have the resumes. Make your own fucking travel magazine.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in this office has won an award for writing. You can leave. You can leave. And also, the boss that's yelling at them is, like, not even the CEO of the magazine. Which, like, I get that magazines have CEOs, but, like, I don't understand the power structure in this. I don't understand the power structure. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually kind of weird and kind of dumb. He very conveniently is, like, flailing and tossing his arms, and he drops his macchiato and breaks his leg.
That's what we call instant karma.
Right? But it was also kind of weird because of all the things to describe, this author chose to go into detail about the bone sticking out of the boss's leg.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Like, we don't know what this bitch looks like, but we know what his bone sticking out of his leg looks like.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was weird. And while everyone is, like, over him, like, trying to figure out what to do, the actual CEO, Elliot, shows up, and everyone is, like, frozen in terror, and he's like, did any of you dumbasses call 911? Which nobody did. Nobody did. Because everyone, I think, is actually really happy to see this asshole in pain. But then, like, everybody runs to go call 911 at once. Oh, and while Elliot... Meanwhile, Elliot, the boss, he's walking to the conference room. And Kira's like, well, fuck it, I'm going to go to the conference room because someone else called that and I don't care if he goes to the hospital. Like, these people are all awful.
Yeah.
They're awful people. So, like, she's just sitting there and waiting. And, God, I just hated this book so much. Because, like, looking at it, it could have been funny, but the way it's presented, like, it's just not. Because as soon as people see Kira walking towards the office, they kind of like, oh, we're on the fifth floor, bye, with 911. And they just hang up and scurry into the office after her. Like, never mind, there's a man screaming in pain. Never mind that, like, 911 dispatch is now on hold. Like,
yeah.
They're just bad people. But then I hated this.
It's sort of like Devil Wears Prada without the relatable main character.
Yeah, I think the author was trying for Devil Wears Prada, but everyone was terrible. Like, even the main character, especially the main character.
You're supposed to make someone relatable that you can go through the book with, and she didn't do that.
No, not at all. And then my next sentence about this entire chapter is, after a bunch of nonsense and people we don't care about sacrificing their personal relationships for money, Kira eventually lands the assignment by virtue of having done all the research anyway and not being double booked. Which, to clarify, as they were talking about this, all of these other journalists who run around traveling, none of them are actually traveling. They're all just writing up pieces on why Disneyland is ass.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, it's the only reason she's going is because she doesn't have an article to write, not because she's actually free. But anyway, she gets the gig, and her assignment is to de-romanticize Ireland and talk about how dumb a festival of love is and to talk about how Ireland isn't cute and romantic and beautiful.
That doesn't sound feasible.
I mean, she, you know what though? Kira is all about it because she cares more about her career and also, What kind of travel magazine writes an article about a country to make people not go there?
Right?
Like, you're supposed to be encouraging... No. No sense at all. But Elliot's assistant gives her her plane tickets, and as she's, like, finalizing plans and packing in her head, she realizes that she's bailing on her boyfriend and his sister's wedding, and she hasn't talked to them. Yeah, but as she's playing this in her head, she straight up tells her boss, like, no, it's not going to be a problem. I already bailed on a family event earlier, ha ha ha. But, like, I don't know. She decides that, yeah, it's going to be a great plan to bail on the wedding for this travel magazine that hates traveling and everyone's awful. But then she, like, gets home super late because she's been arranging things and travel plans and making sure everything. And she's, like, shaking from excitement, not from nerves. Okay. And he's just, like, vibrating and blah. And the sentence I wrote is that she's shaking from excitement and not the fact that she's totally a career-obsessed monster.
What do you want? Just go over there. Goodness.
Danielle's kitty wants love. Aw.
She was trying to be on the keyboard.
It's warm. It's warm and it makes noise. Oh, yeah, see, I did write, too. I'm like, that the whole thing is very Devil Wears Prada, but for travel. But more like the author didn't know enough about fashion to try and make the Devil Wears Prada, so just picked something else they wanted to do. But then she gets home, and it turns out Zach, her boyfriend, has been rage cleaning. Because that's what he does when he's angry, is he just, like, cleans the entire house top to bottom. And she, like, walks in and she's like, I smell Pine Sol. Except she doesn't actually say that. I said that because that's what happens, and that's a funnier way of saying what is going on in her fucking thoughtless mind. She doesn't even apologize for missing brunch. She just, like, kind of hugs him, like, oh, sorry, ha ha ha. And then she's like, why aren't you hugging me back? And then she's like, okay, well, maybe I can. Then she tries to be like, hey, let's go into the bedroom and I'll make it up to you. And he's like, get the fuck off me. So she tries to hug him and, like, half-ass apologizes. And then she tries to bribe him with sex. And he's, nope. And so she's like, okay, well, what the fuck is wrong then? But she doesn't say that because the author doesn't know how to write actual fights. She just comes across like a bitch the whole time. And it turns out that Zach is justifiably upset that her boss literally just has to send out a single text to make her run to him. And, like, she teases him, oh, you're jealous. I'd never date him. He's fat and bald, ha ha ha. And he just fucking snapped. Sorry, say that again?
That's the only reason?
He just fucking snaps at her. And he's like, no, I'm pissed off that he's a priority. And you'll do literally anything for him. And in response, she just, like, sighs at him and thinks about how he needs to be more supportive of how hard she's working. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And at this moment, I was, like, way more interested in Zach's story. Yeah. I wanted to know what Zach was going to do with this, like, any rom-com movie. Like, this is the point in a rom-com where it could go one of two ways. One, we follow his journey to find someone who's sweet and nice.
Yeah.
Or two, she does the Hallmark route.
Yeah.
Guess what we go with?
The Hallmark route?
Uh-huh. Oh. But not even good. But yeah, like every other story, she would be the absolute villain because she's literally bailing on everyone on her life except for her job. And so she just, like, kind of sighs and tells him, well, you're just going to have to deal with because I'm going to Ireland. Yay. And she tries not to be super excited, but she's literally shouting at him, like exclamation points and everything. And then she's like, oh, and by the way, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. And yeah, it turns out his sister's wedding is 3 hours after she leaves.
Oh.
And she's a bridesmaid.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a bridesmaid at his sister's wedding. And she doesn't understand. And he is just like, no, this is fucking bullshit. I literally had to deal with your family all day, including your train wreck of a fucking sister. And you're leaving me now. Like, literally the day before the wedding.
The brunch was a wedding event.
The brunch was not a wedding event because it was her family coming to your place for brunch. But either way, like, if this is the kind of dynamic that you guys are at, like,
yeah,
no. And so then there's this point where, which I did quote this because it was funny, because she's like, I'll tell her, Kira suggested, let me be the bad guy. I don't mind. You are the bad guy, Zach. I mean, yeah. You're the fucking bad guy.
Yeah.
What?
I'm trying real hard to diagnose her in my head.
narcissist, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But then, like, what's interesting is immediately after this, she starts to pack while they're fighting, and he calls her out. He's like, are you seriously fucking packing your suitcase right now? We're in the middle of having a discussion. She's like, I don't really see what the discussion is. Like, she doesn't even stop packing when he says, can you fucking stop so we can talk? She's like, I mean, I could, but
I have a lot to do.
Yeah, pretty much. And so basically he finally just tells her, he's like, if you go to Ireland, I'm not going to be here when you get back. And she's finally paying attention to what he's saying because he thinks he's full of shit.
Oh.
She doesn't believe him. She thinks that she's going to come back and he'll still fucking be there. And in her head, she's like, my job is a million times more important than any of your emotions.
Wow.
And so, yeah. Yeah. And she doesn't, she's not even sad that he's threatening to leave her because she's a monster. But he, like, grabs his keys to go crash at his sister's place the night before the wedding. And he's like, oh, he'll be back before I leave to kiss me goodbye. He's fine. And so she, like, after he leaves and she finishes packing, she calls her mom. And her mom is like, oh, yeah, that's so great, blah, blah, blah. And then Kira tells her why she and Zach were fighting. And her mom is like, maybe you should rethink your life choices here. To which Kira snaps that it's the modern era, 1950s, and you should be happy for me, Mom. And for, like, just a moment, you know how, like, the mom was like, maybe you should rethink this?
Uh-huh.
The author realized that the mom was making sense and being a rational adult and took a sharp left turn into, well, you need to have babies. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Like, the mom at first was like, yeah, I raised you to follow your career, and I'm so happy for you. And then, babies.
Huh.
Because you can't have someone make sense like that.
Yeah.
But the phone call actually ends because the mom asks, like, is Ireland more important than your relationship? And Kira just hangs up on her.
Because her mom got real.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what does Kira do? She calls her train wreck sister Bryn, who is literally couch hopping on a regular basis because she'll move in with a boyfriend and then dump them and then she's homeless. And so because the first two people that you trust the most say, hey, this is a bad plan, obviously you're going to call a third person who is toxically optimistic and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just like you want, Brynn supports Kira in everything. She's like, yeah, totally. You don't need no man. Go after your dreams. Yay. yoga, Pilates. And also Brynn doesn't really like Zach anyway. So, which I would like to point out, we're on chapter 3 and it's only been 23 pages.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, I have no idea what any of these people look like or how old they are. No. I don't even know where they're from. I know that they live in New York, but I don't know where they're from.
Huh.
It's awful. It's just so bad. Hold on. I need a drink of wine because this is literally awful. Also, this next part really got to me because I Okay. So, dear listeners, for those of you who don't know, I lived in New York for a couple years, and I am...
Did they do it all wrong?
Oh. She is going to Newark Airport, which is in New Jersey.
Why would you do that?
It is cheaper. It is cheaper. I'll admit that. But what is frustrating...
But it costs $100 to get out there.
She fucking pays for a taxi to drive her all the way to Newark.
That's a lot.
Okay, one, bitch, there's a fucking train to do that. Two, you don't drive through New York to get to Newark. That's fucking dumb. You fucking hop a train to get to a train to get to Newark. The train goes right fucking there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the way it's worded, she's literally driving through Manhattan to get to Newark Airport.
Huh.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
No.
No. No, there is distance. There is a good deal of distance. My aunt and uncle drove me to Newark for a flight. It took like half an hour and we left through Brooklyn. Like, I had a moment where I like rage quit reading this book for a good hour and a half. It was just bad. So dear listeners, Newark Airport is not New York. It's in New Jersey. And then what's really fucking dumb, what is really dumb, is like we've spent 23 pages. We don't know what anybody looks like. We don't know anything about anybody. But we get 10 pages detailing her flight.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like from the Newark drive to her landing in Ireland, we just get descriptions about the flight and how she watched a movie and how she looked out the window. And like twice she...
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And she, like, kind of mentions trying to text Zach and, like, send him pictures and how he's not talking to her, so she thinks he's pouting. Yeah, she thinks he's pouting because he's not responding.
That's what I say my cat is doing after I've told her no about something. That's not something you apply to a grown man when you've been a bitch.
Right? Right? More than a bitch. He's literally, like, one, he's not gonna respond anyway because he's at a fucking wedding.
Yes.
Two,
he's in one, probably.
I don't know for sure, but maybe. But, like, girl, you, if someone tells you, like, if you bail on the wedding for your fucking job that you hate anyway, I'm gonna leave. If someone says that to you, you don't look them dead ass in the eye and say, bet. Like, you don't call them on their bluff. Like, anyway, she's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's just awful. So we get 10 pages of her flight itinerary and how beautiful Ireland is and how she's trying to figure out how to make it sound not pretty and how she doesn't comprehend, like, her fucking neurons in her brain aren't clicking that she's awful. But then...
Well, that's how narcissism works.
Exactly. Oh, do you have chocolate chips?
No, it's peanut butter M&Ms. I put them in the fridge and that way they're cold.
Mmm, and jelly. Here, I'm gonna get an Oreo real quick. Stand by. Yeah, the little market on the corner started carrying gluten-free Oreos.
Ooh.
They're more chocolatey.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, like they taste more like cocoa. But upon landing, she gets her rental car and she drives to this B&B, and thus starts the stereotyping. She gets to this B&B and she's given a Guinness as soon as she walks in, and the place is named the Saint Patty, and there's Catholic iconography everywhere, and everyone is just so happy that she's there and they're so friendly, and I have been so annoyed. At this point, I literally just wanted to slam her face into a table. And so seeing people be happy to see her,
mm-hmm,
just made me angry. But they're all really happy that they're making it into an international travel magazine.
Oh.
Yeah. And as we know, Hallmark rules say that someone is going to read her article with her being nasty and awful. Everyone's going to hate her as a result.
Mm-hmm. And by then she'll care. Well, in all Mark movies.
Right, exactly. But like, while she's there, they're all talking about how sad and poor they are and da-da-da, and you're just so talented and so wonderful. And she's just thinking of all the ways she's going to write every single one of these people as being awful in a stereotype and, you know, just terrible. And then the innkeeper takes her to her room, which it is so cottagecore and so adorable. I would love to stay there. And all she thinks is how it's shabby and kitschy and gross. Like, girl, you live in New York. You live in a studio that you share with another human being. Like,
some people shouldn't travel.
Exactly. Exactly. Or if they travel, they should go to, like, I don't know, bougie places.
Yeah.
Go to Vegas or some shit. But then she meets her tour guide, Shane, who, as soon as I read about him, I'm like, oh, that looks cute. And I know you would think that, too, because he's kind of scruffy looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a beard and he wears jeans and flannel. And her immediate thought is, like, he'd be cuter if he shaved and changed everything about himself and dressed nicely. And meanwhile, I'm like, he looks like he could light a fire and go camping. Like, that is my Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors of delicious right there. Flannel meets boots. Yeah. But aside from that, we don't really know what he looks like, except that he's tall and he'd be cute. And for a second, like literally brief flash of time, she feels almost bad about thinking about how cute he is while she's on the rocks with Zach. So she doesn't actually feel bad about it, but she almost does. But it turns out he wrote up an entire travel itinerary for her for the month because he is her tour guide and he's supposed to be taking her all over the country. And so she's like, well, I can't do that. I can't travel all over the country to write about this country that I'm supposed to be writing about. And he makes fun of her and he's like, you just don't know how to let your hair down, ha ha ha. And then for like two pages, it's this back and forth where she's neurotic and a bitch, which she is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laid back and being nice because it's his job to be nice to her. Eventually, like after a couple more beers, because the whole time the innkeeper is just refilling her cup, she heads back upstairs to see if Zach has texted her back.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't. And she decides that he's being immature by giving her a silent treatment.
Hmm.
Yeah. So instead, she texts her train wreck of a sister, Bryn, all about Shane. And her sister is like, yes, bitch, jump his bones.
He sounds like someone who makes good decisions.
Right? Someone I would definitely trust with advice on my career path. That's great. Like, no. It's also made clear that Bryn has never held down a job for more than a year.
Mm.
Or a boyfriend for more than a year. She jumps immediately into writing, and we spend just like a page and a half reading the article that she is writing, which she had literally just described to us for 15 pages before. And the only reason she stops writing is because Bryn calls her. And when Kira answers it, she's like, why aren't you fucking the tour guide yet?
How do they have international cell phone plans?
I don't know. Wi-Fi? Maybe? Huh. I don't know.
I always get caught up in logistics. I'm like, what?
That's fine. That is something that should be ironed out in a book like this when it's going on. But it's not. And it wasn't. But, like, we find out that the only reason Kira isn't fucking this guy is because she thinks he's cocky, which he's not. He's just, like, really polite and blunt, which I appreciate. And he dresses like a slob. And, like, it's my girl, it is Ireland. It's fucking cold. Mm-hmm. It's raining. And not to mention, a dude in flannel and jeans with a beard and a boyish smile, which is mischievous, that's hot.
Yeah.
That is hot. And she's just a pretty bitch, which they call her that a couple times in the book. I called her a bitch, which she is. Mm-hmm. But, like, over this amount of time and the phone calls with Bryn, it's kind of established that Kira is anti-fun and has never been able to let loose. So, you know, again, we've all seen this Hallmark movie. We all know what's gonna fucking happen. And I really just wanted to stop reading this book, but Mama didn't raise no quitter. So what does Kira do? Well, she's drunk. She decides to try and call Zach. And then she decides to text him. And then when he doesn't answer, she stalks his Instagram. And for like a half second, she thinks, maybe I actually hurt his feelings by bailing on his sister's wedding in which I was a bridesmaid. But at the same time, she doesn't recognize that she was in fact a total fucking bitch in doing it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she falls asleep and we have a paragraph where she has a dream about being at the wedding with Shane. But it's only 3 sentences long.
Huh.
Yeah, the entire dream is as follows, and I quote, "As she began to fall into slumber, Kira began dreaming that she was at the wedding with Zach. Only it wasn't Zach, it was Shane, shaved and in a sharp suit. He looked more handsome than she'd ever anticipated." End quote.
That's not how dreaming works.
Yeah. And that last sentence is dumb. He looked more handsome than she'd even anticipated.
Hmm.
But I don't understand it.
How'd she fall into a REM cycle as she was hitting the pillow?
I don't know.
That's when dreams happen.
I think
I know too much. I know too many things.
I think the author maybe needs to look into learning some more things.
Oh, okay. That could be.
Yeah. But then she goes down to breakfast, and we get even more stereotyping because the innkeeper puts both Bailey's and whiskey in her coffee.
Wow.
Which, apparently, Kira has never heard of Irish coffee. And she's shocked. Shocked, I say! At the very idea of alcohol at 8 a.m. Because the author decided that the Irish are all a bunch of fucking drunks who just wake and bake.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. And it, like I was saying earlier, like, it just goes straight into stereotyping.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets even harder and more intense. And, like, as a side note, every single time I read or watch anything that takes place in Ireland, I think about my hometown, which mm-hmm. is named after Bangor, Ireland.
Okay.
And when you look at my hometown in the winter, and then you look at a picture of any landscape in Ireland, it's the exact same fucking place. And I looked up this town that this festival is supposed to be taking place in, and it's literally the same population as my hometown. But they have like 2 more businesses and a matchmaker. like people actually want to go to this town. Nobody wants to go to my hometown. It's awful. But like the whole time I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like home. I've never had any real drive to go visit Ireland, because it just looks like everything. No offense to Irish listeners. But what ends up happening is Kira remembers that she is supposed to be making this place unromantic and that she has to go visit the matchmaker in town. Because the town is a big festival town in real life. And so every business in the town caters to tourists.
Okay.
Yeah. But the matchmaker gives her like the rundown of how the festival started. And for some reason, the author says that there's owners in the festival, but there's no owners. It's like the town's thing. So I don't know. But that the matchmaker family has always been involved in matchmaking forever. And like I was saying, this town, I'm going to butcher it. I'm sorry. Lisdobarna is a real place, and it actually hosts one of the largest matchmaking festivals in all of Europe.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Woodstock, New York, where it's this itty-bitty place most of the year, except for a few weeks of festivals.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Lisdobarna has 43 more people than my hometown. But anyway, after she finishes thinking that the matchmaker is full of shit and love isn't real, and, you know, all the other Hallmark shit, Shane picks her up to take her to a national park called the Burren, which I looked it up in real life, and it is really cool looking, and you should Google it if you don't know what it is.
I should.
And it's B-U-R-R-E-N, the Burren. And it is really cool. And the reason Shane took her there is because she's snooty, and he figured it would knock her off of her high horse. And she argues, she's like, I'm not snooty, da-da-da-da-da. And then, as they're hiking, this bitch has the fucking nerve to tell Shane that he is a stereotype because he's cheeky.
Oh my god.
Like, you know you're an author, right? You don't have to write a stereotype. And she's like, she's annoyed with him because he's cheeky and blunt. And he calls her out and he's like, well, you were a fucking bitch to the matchmaker and you've been bitchy and sneering at everybody we've met. And following suit, she decides to be bitchy and sneers at him that he's probably only ever been with his high school sweetheart. And then they're just like not talking to each other for like an hour. And then she kind of apologizes for whatever it was she said.
Oh my god. That's not an apology.
Right. He's like, you're not sorry because you don't know what you said. And she doesn't ask what it was she said that pissed him off.
Oh my god.
She's like, well, I'm sorry. Like, no, you're not. But then he does the like long-legged dude thing and totally outpaces her just by watching. Or walking. Sorry. Wine's getting in my head quick. And then she like bitches about him being an Olympic hiker. He's like, nope. My dad was a boxer and I swim every day, but I'm not an Olympian. But that gets her to like start daydreaming about him emerging from a lake like Jason Momoa. Like, no segue. She literally went from being sad about Zach, pissed off, horny. Like,
sure.
Is she on her period? Like, what's going on?
So many emotions.
So many. Or is it puberty? I don't know. But the entire time they're there, she's just like super stuck up and hateful and mean. And she bitches about literally everything from the music to the food to the people to the crowds to the festival. Like,
wow.
Why did she travel if she hates travel?
Yeah.
And just like every character she meets to interview for this festival is a drunk and a romantic and full-on stereotype, redheads wearing all green. Like, she wrote leprechauns, basically.
Oh my god.
And then the whole fucking time that she's been just, like, super shitty to Shane and mean, she has the... She just, like, decides that she's gonna be jealous because he's flirting with other people. Yeah. And then, while she's grossed out by people being happy and raging that he's not, like, all up on her sauce wanting to fuck her, she goes on to Instagram to see pictures from the wedding she bailed on, and then gets pissed off because her ex, Zach, is dancing with another woman. He decides that he did it just to piss her off and that he's cheating on her. So she goes and gets shitty drunk.
They are no longer together because he said, if you leave, we are no longer together.
And she Exactly. Like, and he probably did go back to their apartment to see if she was still there and then saw that she wasn't there. And he's like, well, fuck that bitch. I'm gonna get shitty drunk and I'm gonna fuck a bridesmaid, which is good on you. But then, like, she decides to be even meaner to Shane when he decides to walk her drunk ass back to the B&B. Mm-hmm. And then we get another 10 pages of stereotyping and her being bitchy and mean, because the next day he takes her to that cool-ass cliff place from Harry Potter where they were, like, camping in the 7th movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That cool place where it's, like, rocks and, like, I would love to go there.
Uh-huh.
I would love to go there. Never mind it looks like Bald Rock, and I have probably been to a place just like it. I want to go there. Let me go there. If only for the photo op, like. But, yeah, she's, like, this is supposed to be her love interest. She's supposed to be falling in love with Shane, mm-hmm. but she is an actual cunt. I said it. The entire fucking time.
Wow.
And we're only on page 62 out of 178.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I just... And, like, I will admit that at a certain point, I just started skimming to see if there was anything interesting that happened or anything unique that happened. But it's all the fucking same. Mm. It's Shane taking her somewhere nice and her getting mean... And then her getting drunk and him making fun of her. And
that's so great.
You would think that, but at a certain point, it's just fucking exhausting.
Yes.
Like, this was not a good book. And the only time it's broken up is that she finally gets a phone call with Zach. Because he, you know, he picks up when she calls him while she's drunk. And... She just fucking loses her shit and tells him that he's being a dick and he's being condescending and that he hurt her feelings by sleeping with someone else. And then he has to fucking remind her what we've been saying the whole time is that she walked out the door, she broke up with him.
Yeah.
But she doesn't agree with that. She thinks he's wrong. She says, no, that's not what happened. It's like she's trying to gaslight him, but she doesn't know how.
Yeah. Well, that's another narcissistic trait.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But then she decides that, like, because she hangs up on him. She fucking hangs up on him. And she decides that the real problem with her and Zach wasn't that she was a terrible fucking partner and abandoned him on a regular basis for her career. It was that they weren't a good match.
Oh.
Yeah. She doesn't admit that, like, hey, I probably should have, like, this is my partner of 4 years.
Oh, my God.
I probably should have met him halfway more often.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. She decides that he's just a jerk who wants a housewife. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But then it's more of the same fucking thing of Kira and Shane going somewhere nice, be assholes to each other, and then complain the whole time. Like, I don't want to hang out with this girl. I don't want to be on a tour bus with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's awful. And she doesn't get better. Even skimming through the book, she doesn't get better. She doesn't get more likable. She does eventually go to meet Shane's family for research purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not interesting. Like, we meet his 6 sisters, but... I have no idea what they look like or what they act like. They're just kind of there. And then it does that Hallmark thing where his sisters clean him up and shave his beard off and cut his hair. And I was so mad.
Why?
Exactly. I was so mad.
He's a grown man. He can groom himself.
Not to mention, like, girl, if you are going to, like, if you're going to decide that you're not interested in someone based on their looks, like,
yeah,
obviously, yes, we all have predisposed attractions. But if the key to falling in love with someone is to change everything about them, maybe you should go fuck yourself. just thought.
Yeah.
But then they have this like moment at the farm, because Shane grew up on a farm. He lives with his parents on a farm. They raise chickens and sheep. He needs jeans and flannels. His beard keeps him warm in the cold while he's out doing farm stuff. But like, they have this moment where now he's hot and her heart starts to flutter and she decides that she's falling for him.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the moment where she decides she's falling in love with him.
I feel bad for him.
Right? He's like a decent fucking dude.
Yeah.
He's a decent dude, which we actually find out. Did I write this down? No, I didn't write it down because like now, but because she's starting to fall in love with him, she decided with her narcissistic, manipulative, gaslighting bullshit, she's starting to have trouble writing about how awful everything is for like a sentence. And then she's mean again.
Wow.
And then in like the next sentence, she decides, fuck it, I'm going to write about my breakup and how Ireland taught me to love again.
Oh my God.
And then Shane takes her horseback riding. This is a point where I realized my own bias, because while they're out there, he makes fun of her for not knowing how to ride a horse, and her response is that she's from New York, not the Midwest. And
the Midwest?
Yeah, well, because Kansas and Oklahoma are where the Old West is.
Okay.
See, we're from the Wild West, Danielle.
Yes.
Yeah, we're from the Wild West. The Old West is Kansas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of Kansas and Oklahoma as the Midwest.
No.
I don't know why.
Well, it is, but it's because I lived in Wisconsin for a few years. So, like, I was there for geography lessons.
Right. But, like, even my brain, knowing that there are cowboy stories that happen in Kansas and Oklahoma and all of this stuff, like, my brain doesn't think of cowboys. Because I'm from the other side of the Sierra Nevadas.
Yeah.
From the other side of the Rockies, where, like, we are the Wild West.
Yeah, I'm from, the Oregon Territory.
Right. The California Republic, where we had two wars to overthrow Mexico. That's why the California flag is a bear. It's I'll send you the link for that. It's actually really cool. But moving on from the cowboy discussion where nothing made sense. While they're out riding, it starts to rain. So they kiss in the rain, which would be cute in a Hallmark movie. And then they head back to the hotel. But once they get back to town, one of Shane's exes shows up. So Kira runs away to the B&B to write angrily about how much Ireland sucks.
Like a girl with a journal?
Yeah. She's shooting this entire writing assignment like her own personal journal. And every once in a while, she's sending a paragraph or two to her editor to, like, I don't know, keep up appearances.
He's like, what the fuck is happening over there?
You know, her editor is totally like, yeah, this is great. I hate my life. But then Shane shows up and he's like, no, that was just an ex. She didn't mean anything. And then they argue and he tells her that he's only slept with three women his whole life. And then they fuck. And it was a whole fade to black thing. And I looked up to stretch my neck and scream. And it was okay because Droffy had made a froggy-shaped cowboy, and I was happy again. And then, so one of the reasons that because I realized I didn't write it down, but I remember it. One of the reasons that Shane got pissed off when she talked about, I bet you've only ever been with your high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. It's because he was married to his high school sweetheart, and she died in childbirth.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so he was justifiably upset with her.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Because she's a cunt.
Uh-huh.
Straight up, hard C, hard T. She is an awful human being. But apparently, now they're boyfriend and girlfriend, and he's sending texts for her while she drives, which we know right away means that he's going to find out about the article and get pissed off. And guess what? He fucking does. And the innkeeper finds out too, and she's just so sad because now everybody is mad at her for talking about how gross their town is. And she still has to be there for a week. And Shane won't talk to her, justifiably. She's awful. And the innkeeper isn't giving her beer in the morning or whiskey in the morning because whatever. And she has to ask him for breakfast now instead of just getting it delivered. Like, but eventually, because she has to finish her article, and now that she's heartbroken, it's easier for her to be mean to everybody again.
Oh my God.
But she finds this old couple who is the oldest couple who met at the Festival of Love. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
That's adorable.
Yeah. And as she's talking to them about why their relationship lasted so long, she has an almost epiphany. And she realizes that, hey, maybe Zach was right and I am selfish. And yeah, I guess I did hurt Shane and everyone else. And I should apologize to Shane, but not to Zach, because he's an idiot.
Oh my God.
And so she apologizes to the innkeeper too. And just like has a talk with him. She's like, listen, my boss is making me do this. I don't really feel this way, but she kind of does. And then after she apologizes to the innkeeper, Zach calls her again and he wants to meet up and talk things out when she gets back. And she just hauls off and accuses him of wanting her to be a stay-at-home mom just to bring conflict into the story. Like, this phone call had no purpose.
Yeah.
At all, except to make Zach awful and to make her seem like she's good for not wanting to apologize to him when really he just wants closure.
Yeah.
Like, all your shit is still at my apartment. We have to figure out who's taking over the lease. Like, there's paperwork involved when you've been living with someone for 4 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit involved. You have to break up possessions.
Yeah.
You have to figure out who gets the TV,
mm-hmm.
who's getting the computer,
whose books are whose,
who gets the good kitchen knives, like putting up video games. Like, there's.
You want the plates or should I take them?
She's awful. But then what ends up happening is after the phone call, Kira drives all the way to Shane's parents' house to apologize to him because he won't return her calls or her texts or anything. And then she gets lost and she crashes into a ditch and she walks to his farm in the rain and she's just like gross. And I get that it's supposed to be that romantic, look what I did for you. And no, she's just awful. And she just like apologizes to him and she goes to him and they kiss and they love each other. And when they head back to town, they enter to be for a raffle to be king and queen of the Festival of Love. And guess what? They fucking win. Gag. But then she has to go back to New York and they agree to have a long distance relationship. And instead of submitting what an awful place Ireland is, Kira submits an article about how it's all about romance and finding herself and being in love again. And the CEO of the magazine loves it and she's not in trouble at all for doing the exact opposite of her assignment. In fact, they're going to keep sending her across the globe to romantic locations. And that's the end of the book. And guess what the next book is? She finds love in Italy. And not with Shane.
What the fuck?
With a different tour guide.
So she's literally discarding people.
Yeah. Like it's tissues.
It's another narcissism term.
Soft, strong, disposable. She's trash. She is trash. Yeah. Like the next, and it was interesting because the book is 178 pages, right? No, it's actually 177 pages. The last page is just like three sentences about what the next book is, which is her falling in love with her next tour guide.
Oh my God.
That's the entire series, is her being a trash human being, never learning anything, not apologizing for being a massive fucking cunt. It's an awful book. Wow. I do not suggest you read it.
No.
Yeah, and none of the places they went to were described particularly well. There was no actual arc of character development.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a talk with some old people on a park bench, like they're fairies or some shit. I don't know. She described pretty much every character in this book as though they were a leprechaun.
Wow.
Like, just a bunch of drunks and leprechauns. That's what this author decided Ireland was. Yeah. Yep.
So the author has never traveled. At least not to Ireland.
I think if they did, they were definitely part of a tour group.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And just they don't actually know anything. Or maybe they didn't travel at all. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't learn anything about Irish food except for oatmeal.
Oatmeal?
Yeah. The author goes out of their way to describe how delicious Irish oatmeal is. Which, yes, it is. But also, like, that's the culinary genius that your research turned up was Irish coffee, Guinness, and oatmeal? Really?
There's a comedian, Kathleen Madigan. She said her favorite place in the world is Ireland.
I love her.
Because you can go to a pub and eat mashed potatoes and roast beef with gravy on it and have a Guinness just all afternoon.
Right? That sounds great to me.
It's her favorite thing to do.
She was awful. She's awful. She's awful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to say it. She's an awful human being. Don't be like this person. Just don't. Don't be like her. It should be easy. Just be nice. Like,
if you find yourself thinking, I am like that person, you may want to seek professional help. Because
right?
You may be hurting people in your life.
Or, here's one. Apologize for being an asshole.
Yes. That might take work, though.
And if you're not sure what you said to hurt their feelings, ask what you said to hurt their feelings and recognize that, hey, maybe that was a shit thing to do.
Yes. Because apologizing for if I hurt your feelings is not an apology.
Right. Right. And then when they say you don't even know what you're apologizing for, don't say, well, I'm sorry anyway. Like, no. Ask what you did. Ask. Communication. That's really it all it is. Just, like, communicate. Because she did none of that. Yeah, she decided that her ex cheated on her to make her mad, to make her come back to New York.
Wow.
Yep. Like, no, it's called grief fucking. A lot of people do it. Like, what's that? I just broke up. I'm shitty drunk. She's hot. I wanna fuck. Anyway, it was bad. It was so bad. I would not read this book. Again, I'm not going to read any of the sequels. It's very confusing because on Goodreads, it's either people love this book
mm-hmm.
or they hate this book. I hate this book.
Yeah.
It is awful. Like that one review said, the main character is an asshole.
Yeah.
And like it was such a short book too. That's the thing. Like, I should not be this angry.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, it's not the most convoluted book that I've ever read that is this short. Because for the podcast, I have read shorter books. We had to take the episode down, but it was the Dragon book. The audio was really funky. So if you're one of the older listeners who caught that, congratulations. We should probably try to record that one again. Okay. But like, it was bad. It was so bad. I'm angry. I feel like I lost hours of my life. I feel like I lost days of my life.
That's awful.
It is. I that is time I will never get back.
Yeah.
I could have planned an entire D&D session. Oh. And I didn't. I was just angry. Like, I scheduled my COVID vaccine for yesterday to avoid reading that book. Like, maybe if I schedule it for this time, I won't have to finish it and I can have a viable excuse. Like, no. Nope. There was no excuse. Oh. It was done really quick. The only thing that made me happy was looking up to see that Droffy had drawn a frog cowboy. Cowboy frog. That made me happy. Yeah, I don't understand, because on Goodreads, this book has a 3.64 rating.
Weird.
Right? But, like, it's...
I have not been rating things on there. I should do that.
Oh, I can give you the login to add books to the podcast shelf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'll share it for you in a minute. But yeah, like, on average, even the books, even the reviews that like it only give it, like, 3 to 4 stars. It's just bad. Yeah. A lot of people do what I did, which is, like, I wanted to stop reading this book, but I couldn't because I finish every book I read. Can we talk about literally anything else? This book is so bad. I hate it.
Well, I'm reading, I've started a book about demons for next time.
Nice.
I haven't gotten very far because I had the second COVID vaccine and I've been asleep ever since. Since Thursday.
Wow. Which one did you get?
The second one, Moderna.
I've heard that one is a little more aggressive.
Okay.
In side effects.
My dad and I went together.
Mm.
Because somehow we wound up going on the same day last time. So we just scheduled the same time, roughly, for this time.
Nice.
Yeah. And then on the way home, we witnessed an accident.
Oh.
That was special. Yeah.
Yeah. When I scheduled mine at City College, they just automatically scheduled me for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, timed it. Here's 3 weeks out. There you go. Like, do I get to choose the nope. You're on that day. Time. Can I choose this time? Nope. That was an hour after your first one. You can choose earlier. Like, why even give me the option of pretending to choose my own time? Like, don't do that. Don't pretend that I have options here.
Right? It's like giving a toddler options. You want this or this, where you already, they have to choose one of them.
Right, and you already decided which two they're going to have.
Yeah.
Like, that's not real choices. Yeah. I'm closing my notes for that stupid book. It's awful.
Like, when Melissa worked at the theater, anytime a kid came up with their mom for concessions, she would say, "Do you want orange or Sprite?" Instead of offering, like, caffeine.
Right.
And the parent would mouth, "Thank you."
Yes. Yeah, root beer. Root beer is a caffeine-free one.
True. I don't think they had that.
Aw.
Or something.
I love root beer. Oh, here's one of the reviews for Love Like This. If it feels like you're familiar with this story, it might be because you watched The Matchmaker with Janine Garofalo and David O'Hara. Taylor made to be an enjoyable if unoriginal Hallmark movie. Fucking called it.
Well, now I want to look that up because I love her.
Another person wrote, "Boring, predictable, insulting the Irish. I hated Kira from the start, and the way she treated her boyfriend was utterly appalling. Not for me. Did not finish at 19%. Yeah, it was just bad. Oh, did you hear about the, okay, so for some of you in the book world, there has been some drama over an author angrily tweeting and being just a general cunt about how her readers didn't leave her 5 stars on Goodreads. And so she just, so she just went off and was talking about how they were all assholes and they needed to just not review if they weren't going to give 5 stars, and how she was speaking for all authors who were too afraid of being canceled
for
being upset with their 4-star rating people. The book is Leaving Isn't the Hardest Thing by Lauren Hoag. And it's funny because if you read the reviews on this book, there's, like, a timeline that reviewers have left of her being an asshole. And so everyone who liked the book previously went back and changed their rating. Like, you're going to be a bitch. We're going to... We weren't going to cancel you. Like, we weren't planning on canceling you in any capacity. We actually liked your book. But then you were an asshole. Yeah. Yeah. What are you looking up?
Oh, I was going to see if I could watch that movie. But I can't find it on this app.
Oh, no. I kind of just Google it and then find out which streaming service it's on and then ask one of my friends for their login.
Well, that's I went to Just Watch, the app,
because
it tells you which streaming service it's on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not on there. It's on IMDb.
Let's see. Streaming. Apparently it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay.
It's also on Vudu and Tubi. So there you go, you guys. If you want an enjoyable version of that book, just watch The Matchmaker from 1997, starring Janine Garofalo, which I watched The Mystery Men the other night. I love that movie. Because at the end, Janine Garofalo, like, stares into at her dad's skull, and she's like, okay, that's it. I'm going back to grad school now. She's done. That was the deal. So yeah, I guess demons is our next
yes,
next theme genre.
Oh, I actually spent money on this book and I forgot that I had, because I was just gonna read it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came across it in my books and went, oh, I could do that one, and started reading it. And then when I went, oh, that one cost money, I wonder if I can do that one.
I mean, if you like it and you want to read it, definitely.
Okay.
I'm having to resist really hard not to just phone it in and reread a demon book that I actually really like. I kind of feel like I deserve it after this shit.
Yeah. Does it have a sequel?
It's part of a whole series.
You could just read the sequel if you wanted.
No, I've read that. I've read every book in this series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those trashy romance novels that I really like because it doesn't fuck around with story too much. And when it does fuck around with the story, it's pretty straightforward. Like, hey, we have to rescue this bitch. Like, okay, let's rescue this bitch. Oh my god, she's hot. Yay, let's bone. Hey, we have to kill this dude. Okay, let's bone before we go kill that dude. Like, I will send you shit. Oh my god. It's the Immortals After Dark series by Creasley Cole. It's not a fantastic, like, don't expect high fantasy, like, top tier literary, like, legacy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It is a really good series. It gets the job done, so to say. yeah, I really like it. It's fun. My best friend AJ, who you will meet one day, you guys will share the bench at my imaginary future wedding. Nice. They saw me reading it and they're just like, how? Why do you have this fixation on himbos? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, but every time you date someone, they're just like XYZ, and you read romance novels about XYZ. And I'm like, that's just my type. What do you want me to do? Like, your type is that goober over there. With love, he knows, but like there was a moment where there was like, yeah, okay, checks out. So a fair warning, I might just phone it in and read a book I like.
Okay.
Because this series was just the idea that this Love Like This book is part of a series.
Yeah.
makes me angry.
Yeah, I don't want to read a series about a narcissist.
No.
That was terrible.
And, like, seeing her try to gaslight people in real time.
Yeah.
And thinking she's not good at it. Like, I think that's another reason I got so pissed off, is that Kira just reminded me of one of my exes.
Mm.
Like, everything. Everything. From bitching about literally everything.
Did she ever play two people against each other?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
It's called triangulating.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So demons.
Demons.
Demons. That is actually one genre we have not covered yet, is demons.
Okay.
So that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, that was our podcast. We read terrible romance novels, so you don't have to. And you guys fucking owe me one. You owe me one. I don't wish this punishment on anyone. It's awful. That book was awful. Anyway, my name is Tasha.
And I'm Danielle.
And you've been listening to and...
Then.
They.
Fucked.
We got it, sorta. It worked. Wash your hands, you guys. Wash your masks.
Mm-hmm. Or buy the N95 ones.
You can do both.
I have pink ones.
Really?
You can get them on Amazon or I don't know. That's where my dad found them.
See, I see too many of the disposable masks just on the street. And so I just... And then there's all the pictures of like sea life and stuff getting tangled up in the disposable masks. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sticking to my cloth mask. So.
Yeah.
And get your vaccine if you haven't gotten it already.
Yes.
Most colleges and learning hospitals have vaccines available. They have appointments available. Yeah. Yeah. Even if you get off at the wrong train stop and have to wander around for 45 minutes trying to figure out where you're supposed to go in a long place because the only other time you've been in the area, you were shitty drunk. Still go. I'm not tattling on myself.
It doesn't sound like a personal anecdote at all.
No. Never. Anyway. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Share, like, subscribe. Bye.
Bye.